Welcome to the Good, the Bad, and the Sequel Q&A. My name's Doug. So let's be real, the last movie sequel we covered was not a good sequel. It was a bad movie. Me and like six other people enjoy Munchie Strikes Back. But have no fear, the next sequel on deck is Troll 2, dubbed the best worst movie. Oh, I discovered that movie at such a young age. That's why this week's interview is such an honor. Talking to actor George Hardy, or should I say Dr. George Hardy, who plays the father in Troll 2, Michael Waitz. Oh man, it was so cool to be able to pick his brain about how a dentist from Alabama ended up in Utah to shoot this just weird movie. And George does not disappoint. One of the nicest guys I ever talked to. And what I'm going to do is, he has a lot of movies coming out, and they just came out recently over the last few months too. I'm going to put the links in the episode notes so you could check those out. And then also, don't forget, you got to watch Troll 2. If you have HBO Max, it's included. If not, it's like $4. It's the best $4 you'll ever spend. That's like a cup of coffee at like Starbucks or Dunkin' nowadays. So watch it. You can rent it on all the normal platforms like Prime and all that. And then also, the documentary is so cool. It's called Best Worst Movie. It's free on Tubi. I'll put that in the notes as well. But you're going to love this interview. George is the nicest guy ever. Just before we actually started the interview, like 2 weeks before when I first talked to him, he like wanted to know about me, why I started this, you know, about my family, and just a genuine guy. You're going to love our chat. So without further ado, here is George Hardy.
Hey, hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, finally.
Yeah, man, but that's, I appreciate it. What I like to do with these, obviously your trajectory, like how you got to be in Troll 2, I think it's fascinating. So growing up, how early did you know that, hey, I want to be a dentist?
Oh, well, I didn't know that part. Now, as far as how did I know that I wanted to be a dentist? That kind of just was a happenstance that happened to me.
Oh, really?
And what that's a yeah. I was in college in general curriculum, and I'm going to be doing some things in the house here. But I was in the college in general curriculum. You know, I was going through what's called Haley Center down in Auburn. But Haley Center was there, and I was in between classes, and there was these guys in white coats coming through, and they were actually freshmen. They were in dental school already, and they were just going through, and I'll be damned if there was a dean of student affairs right there in the hallway, and I met him, and he said, we started talking. He says, I think you need to be a dentist. I go, well, he said, yeah, come on up and go to dental school with these guys. And I'm going, what? You know, he says, yeah. And so I thought, oh shit, you gotta be kidding me. So the bottom line is, I said, okay, yeah, I'll just be a dentist then. So I knew that I wanted to get into medicine somehow.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah.
What were you doing before that?
Well, I was in, what was I doing before dentistry? I was in college.
Yeah, like what was your trajectory? Yeah. Like before that moment, what were you going to do? Like you said you wanted to be in medicine.
Oh, I thought about acting, you know, but.
Oh, you always did. Okay.
Yeah, I kind of thought about it. I wanted to be an actor, you know, but what's true is, I just thought, you just can't make it. You know, the chances of you making it, George, are really slim. And, yeah. You know, I really wasn't that talented. Like some people just have incredible natural talents, you know. And I thought, but I kind of always felt I really wanted to be an actor.
Wow.
So anyway, I ended up going into pre-dentistry, pre-med. You know, pre-vet, well, it's pre-dent and med were the same. So at Auburn. So the same, pretty much the same curriculum. So again, then I got into dental school and went straight from Auburn to the University of Alabama School of Dentistry for 4 years there. And then I did a postdoctorate program out in Salt Lake City in pedodontics in children's dentistry. And while I was out there, I didn't like it. I just thought, this is not for me. Children's dentistry. And so I quit the program and I did like 3 months or something. I think I couldn't stand it. I just thought, oh, I'm going to go back. So I had to wait a while and get my I had to get reciprocity. They did not have reciprocity. I had to take the Western Regional Exam Boards in Portland, which is where my daughter lives now.
Oh, yeah.
And, and I got the Western Regional Exam Board and then ended up practicing in Salt Lake.
Why Salt Lake? How did they choose that for you? Or did you choose that? Like to be in Salt Lake, like so far from home? Or?
I chose it. I got accepted into their program. And I was accepted into their children's dentistry program and ended up, staying out in Salt Lake for about 9 years and started teaching exercise classes out there. And what? When I did, I was teaching aerobics when it was really big back in the 80s. And one of my participants was an actress and she was a ski instructor at Snowbird. Still is.
Oh, wow.
I think she's a senior. Yeah, at Snowbird. And Michelle says, why don't you come take some acting classes? And I did. And so I did some, I studied under a lady named Lillian Chauvin. And Lillian was Linda Gray's coach and Raquel Welch's coach, acting coach. Yeah. And she would fly up from Los Angeles to Salt Lake and do these little, classes on the weekend.
That's amazing.
For about 20 people. And so we would do scene analysis and all that. So Lillian just kind of taught me a few things, but I mean, it was more like a fun thing than anything else. Anyway, I remember when there was one guy with, he's being Mormon country. I think he had 5 kids and left his family and went to Los Angeles to become an aspiring actor. But it's like, oh my God, So I just did it for the fun of it. And so there was an audition. A buddy of mine who was also a ski instructor and later went on to law school, Mark, introduced me to his agent. He had an agent.
Oh, yeah.
Mark was doing a few little things. And I met her, but I never really worked with her. But she met me. And so she called me out of the blue and said, hey, there's an audition up in Park City. Do you want to go do it? And I said, well, sure, I'll go. And, so I go up there and it's all in Best Worst Movie, the documentary, but I ended up, auditioning for that. And it was just a cold read and a room full of smoke, which is, you don't find cigarette smoke in Salt Lake anywhere, No one smokes out there. Right. Cause it's just a healthy environment. And, cigarette smoke in the room, fill room, and no one spoke English. And I read this thing, and the next thing you know, I get a phone call, and they said, can you shoot for 13 days in Park City? And I went, oh my God, you're gonna be kidding. So I got the part. I said, I got to do this. Why not?
Was there a lot of people at the audition?
Yeah, there were. Actually, there were. Yeah, from what I understand, there were. I just went into the into the room there and. Yeah, I do recall that. Yeah.
Was that your first audition ever? Because obviously you did acting. Did you do anything in school, like growing up, like plays and everything?
Oh, yeah. I did some college. I didn't do college plays, but high school plays I did. And then I was in a commercial out in the Bonneville Salt Flats that, that was just a commercial slamming a car door. I was in the back seat of the car door. So all I did was just slam the car door, and that was a big shoot that out there for Toyota, I think. But, I don't know. I just didn't do anything. And so right off the bat, I get a second to the lead role in this film had with no experience, none of us, most of the actors, I think, well, Michael Stevenson in Troll 2 was. By the way, Troll 2 is going to show on HBO the whole month of November.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
Pushing Troll 2 again. I just found that out. So, isn't that cool?
That's awesome. So when you got the script, were you able to? Because I know in the documentary, it was like the script was like you guys just got pages. Like you didn't get the whole thing, right?
Well, no, we got the whole script, but just tried to. We were just trying to figure out what it meant. I mean, we just couldn't. It's like, oh my God, what? I'm not clear. It's, what's happening? That I don't understand this scene to scene thing. I just can't. It just felt like it was so discombobulated. Because as it just jumps one scene to the next, and you're just going, "What? I don't get this." You know, it was. This is my dog here. This is Frisbee.
Hey,
this is Mandy and Frisbee. Okay, you guys get out of here. Go on. Okay, go on. Oh, stinky. So anyway, yeah, we just couldn't. I mean, really, Doug, we couldn't figure out what it meant. Just, it was so tough to figure it out.
Like, for the movie to be like the best, worst movie ever, like, there's so many movies. I'm sure you obviously that you wanted to be an actor growing up. I'm sure there's so many B, C movies that you watched. Sometimes nowadays people try to make what you guys were able to make, and it just doesn't come off authentic. But when you watch that movie, it's like everyone is obviously trying to work with what they have. The shooting in 13 days, like, nowadays that's normal. But back then, people weren't ready, and I'm sure there wasn't enough crew and everything. It probably felt like you guys were rushed, right?
Well, no, it was a 21-day shoot.
It was 21 days. Okay.
I was there for 13.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, it wasn't a real rush. I mean, well, they were under pressure with their budget, I'm pretty sure. But that was all in Italian, so I really had no idea, because everyone spoke Italian. You know, Claudio spoke broken English pretty much, but I mean, he's now that I can talk and hold a pretty good conversation with Claudio on the phone now. I mean, over the last 30 years, Claudio's English has gotten a lot better. Now, Rossella understands, but doesn't speak so much, but his wife, who wrote Troll 2, but Claudio, the director, Drake Floyd or Clyde Anderson or Claudio Fragasso, he would go by these other names. by the way, the other night I tried to watch Monster Dog. I was going to start it with Dallas Cooper. Claudio directed that, so I gotta watch Monster Dog Halloween. But anyway, I was on another interview, and they were telling me about some of Claudio's films were actually pretty good. He's had about 40 films, 30 or 40 films on IMDb. But we weren't in a really rush to film it, but it was a 3-week shoot, and the only one was Laura Gimsler. You know, she was kind of an exotic actress, beautiful, beautiful lady, sweet as she could be. She was had a wardrobe for us. And so, you know, I remember that we had to bring our own clothes for wardrobe. I remember those were my actual clothes. Like they say in the first movie, you know, oh my goodness. But so the language barrier was tough. Yeah, it still is. And that's kind of what holds us all back from being able to have done a sequel. Which, I don't know, you know, how could you really put lightning in a bottle twice after Troll 2? So, yes, you're right. You know, you really just couldn't quite make a movie like Troll 2, you know. Because, I mean, it was there's innocence about it. You know, whereas The Room is, you know, I mean, it seems like The Room was more of an effort by Tommy. And they knew it was bad, but we just didn't know it was bad. We were just following the script, doing the best we could. And like Darren Ewing says in Best Worst Movie, the documentary that Michael Stevens and I made in 2010, Darren says, you know, we really were trying to make a good movie. We really were. So there's this innocence about the film that makes it so incredible. And I'd have to say, like Michael Stevenson in the doc, you know, maybe Troll 2 is not such a bad film after all. You know, it's not. But at the time, which kind of spurred us to make the documentary, it was Double Zeros, and the only one at that time to reserve on Rotten Tomatoes, Troll 2, you know, earned the right Double Zero.
But I think you're right. Like, I think it's even like that's what's great about like the horror movie genre is that a lot of times they're shooting on a lower budget, so they're getting these actors. Some go to do big things, but you watch like the Friday the 13th franchise. Most of those people are so green and they're going for it. And I think that's beautiful, because there's a movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard of it. It's called Samurai Cop that came out in like early 90s. It's kind of to the esque of like Troll 2. You see people going for it. So like 30 years later, we covered the sequel to it and you could tell they were trying to recreate and it just seemed like so manufactured. But I just love everything about it. And I love Troll 2 is so much fun to watch. But I love the documentary, George, because of you. Like, you are so – the way that starts, the documentary, again, actors and everyone that you see on TV, they're just like you and me. But in that documentary, like when you put your coffee on the hood of the car and just like almost forget it, you're just like genuinely a nice person. And the obviously talking to you for like a few minutes by phone, like a couple weeks ago, and even this morning, you're like the nicest guy ever. And the at your job with all the people that work for you and work with you, that is like the coolest part of the whole movie.
Well, thanks. You're a big sweetheart. Well, a lot of that could be just maybe it's the South. I don't know. Maybe that's what, I don't know if I'm representing a lot of the Southerners, but we just have a bunch of pretty easy going life down here. You saw the lake out there.
Oh yeah.
But, yeah. And I'm going to have my second cup of coffee, but I've got to tell you something crazy. This is a side. I'll have to tell you, it sounds like you were excited to interview, you know, me or about Troll 2 and all that, which I'll tell you more about other films that I've been doing since then.
Oh,
but
yeah.
What's true is I heard your interview with Robert Hayes. So with Robert, I met him back in, I think I might have told you, but back
like late 80s, right? Or early 90s golfing?
Yeah. My dad, he was a great golfer. And he was such a nice guy. He was actually nice to me. And maybe really, to be honest with you, I just envied. I think he'd already done Airplane and all. And I just had envied what Robert was doing. I thought, God, that'd be so cool to have done what he did. You know, he's just he was a rock star, really.
Oh, yeah.
But at the time, he was. I mean, gosh, please. And still, you know, he still is, you know, to do a lot of Hallmark stuff, I guess, and things like that. But no, it was an influence, in, you know, with subconscious influence, probably in some way.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's nice. You know, a little bit of encoding that I, you know, that might have diffused into the fact that I, you know, was able to just jump into this film that's now translated in what, 10 languages, you know?
Yeah.
So when we made Best Worst Movie, when you're watching it, you don't realize, well, you would probably realize it, but we went to seven or eight countries and 28 cities back in 2000. I think it was 2009 or 10, you know? So yeah. It pretty much tells the whole story of how that all came about. And, Michael and I kind of organically put together with friends and family to do this incredible wild ride at the time. And, what a great little documentary it turned out.
I loved it.
You know?
I love when you were in England. Cause it was cool when you went to UCB in New York City. Cause I love those two comedians that led that event and just how excited.
Oh yeah. John.
John Gemmerlin. And
those guys are pretty well known.
Part of it, when you went on stage and you recited the lines and everybody got so jacked up and so excited. But then in England, it was cool. Like just to see that change in that life that some of those people live, like the girl in Nightmare on Elm Street that you talked to from part five, like those people, like they have that one moment and they go around. And it was your comment on that was so good in the documentary. You're talking about like, I couldn't imagine doing this, like this one thing.
Maybe the comment about, there's a comment where I talked about Celine Dion, singing the song to, I think she sings a song. Can you imagine? Oh, I said in Best Worst Movie, I talk about Celine singing.
Heart Will Go On from Titanic.
Yeah. Singing that every time in the Las Vegas shows, you know, how do you do that over and over again? You know, you know, that was a fun little thing. I don't know where that came from when I did it, you know, but I just did.
No, I think because it was so real. The way the documentary shot, it was so real because that was like your honest reaction to that moment when people were just going, like in America, people loved Troll 2. Like all those events leading up to that, it was like a ton of people sold out. And then when you were in England, I think all you guys expected that same reaction and just see how genuine you were. That's what I liked about the documentary. You didn't just see the highs. You saw like both sides of going to like those cons that everyone deals with. And I thought that was really, it was real.
So right. Yeah, it really was. Yeah. And then, you know, just the whole thing too about going to a fright festival, which I didn't know, but like the one, for the listening audience has never seen Best Worst Movie, I went to a horror convention And that was really the first one I'd ever been to. And that was in Dallas. And I'd had little sleep anyway. And got up the next morning and went to that. And several of us were there. And Darren Yoon was there with me. And we talked to some of the other actors from Halloween and, you know, at the tables. And they're like rock stars to a lot of the, you know, horror films.
Oh,
fans.
Yeah.
She says, one of the actresses, beautiful gal, I can't remember her name, but she said, you know, horror fans are really loyal. They're just very loyal. And that's really true. They are.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's true, as I'm in a new horror film now, which actually premiered yesterday in London, which is getting some pretty damn good reviews.
That's awesome.
And it's going to be funny. I wouldn't be surprised if later on people want us to come and, you know, sit at a table to sign something at a Comic Con fest or whatever down the road, because I think it's going to become a hit. Yeah. it's I would say
Cyst?
Absolutely. I would say it's the next little shop of horrors, you know, and here I am, a dentist playing a dermatologist, but which is kind of crazy. But so that was not too hard to do. You know, I can't wait for you to see it.
They reached out to you, right? They reached out to you to do it.
Well, Tyler Russell did. It was my fourth time to film with Tyler, actually.
Oh, cool.
He called me. Tyler's just up and coming. He's 30 years old and he's a rock star to me. I would say, Tyler, give him a chance to direct. He really is probably around your age, you know, just kick-ass guy. He lives in Austin. He grew up in Monroe, Louisiana, playing video games from the time he was 4 till about, you know, 15 or whatever. He's in front of that. And so he's got this incredible, incredible imagination from that. Plus, he started, you know, making films when he was Tyler told us when he was 4 or 5, he was filming. I mean, he was doing something.
Oh, you know? Wow.
So, and he's really one of my best friends. He probably is, I would say, up there with one of my best friends in my life I've ever had. And I mean, I don't even feel there's any age difference with Tyler. It's so cool. And so he calls me out of the blue in 2015, I think, or 14, and says, hey, I'm a big Troll 2 fan like you are, you know? And he said, would you mind, coming down to Mobile and let me shoot you for a day. You know, it's just a little cameo thing. And so I did. And I played actually Bruce Hampton's dad in the film.
Wow.
And Fred Willard's in the film with us. Has passed away. And of course, unfortunately, that whole happened with Bruce Hampton, the Dirty Dinosaurs. You know, he's a genius of a man. And I got, you know, he was in Sling Blade, Bruce was, but
yeah,
I got to meet, I didn't even know who Bruce Hampton was. I was at the, you know, at the motel room about to go and wait to go. And he was the lead and it's called Here Comes Rusty, which is about to come out. And so Tyler got me into Here Comes Rusty for a day shoot. And then later on, it was at the Sidewalk Film Festival in Birmingham, which Tyler lives in Austin. And so he came over to the Sidewalk Film Festival and we went up to watch the screener. And as we do, he throws a script on the table and he says, hey, would you consider playing the lead actor in this script I've written? And I go, what? You got to be kidding me. I remember falling asleep reading it because we started about 10:30, 11 at night. And
was that the one you were the sheriff?
Yeah. So it's Texas
I watched
Cotton.
Some of that. Yeah, I watched some. It was on Tubi. I watched some of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Texas Cotton is out now, and you can buy it if you want, or rent it if you want, or to be it. Some people do. But I got to play the lead. That was the 21-day shoot. So that was a really great experience
awesome.
For me. We filmed it in La Costa, Texas, in the little town of La Costa. And so that was an amazing experience to do that. And then Tyler gets together. Meanwhile, at the same time, I get an invite from Baden-Baden, Germany, and there's two guys over there that have written a script that are huge Troll 2 fans, and they're writing an homage to Troll 2. And so they asked me to come over and film for about 8 days, which I did. And they flew me over to Baden-Baden, Germany, and I got to work with two really great actresses, pretty well known German actors. I was the only American, and that's released right now. It's called, they're so, it's kind of cool because Under Control just got released a few days ago on the 23rd. And then Cyst yesterday through London. And then Here Comes Rusty's coming out, I think, next month. So, you know, that's 5 years ago. That was both of those two films, Under Control and Here Comes Rusty, were filmed 5 years ago. So the bottom line is I met the lead actress of Under Control, or Goblin 2 is the name. It was that. And then Eva kind of took production over. And so Eva Haberman then came over to America, and we filmed Cyst with her in Baltimore last December, which then it just premiered yesterday in London.
That's awesome.
So it was work. It was just fantastic working with her. Of course, Tyler Russell, being the creative guy he is, he brings in a lot of the same actors from some of them from Here Comes Rusty and also from Texas Cotton. And we fast forward, he's kind of bringing the same people in to Cyst.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah, I got to work with Gene twice.
Nice.
Yeah, what a great guy Gene is. He's just, oh my gosh, he's the truth thespian. He's the real deal.
Yeah. And, now that's smart for him to bring in the same actors, especially when you're on a smaller budget and you're trying to get it done quick. You have people you're familiar with. I've interviewed people that directors that do that for some bigger movies. They just bring in those more like the background roles and like the third or fourth lead. They'll bring in the same people they know because they know that they'll show up on time and, you know their lines and be able to get it done as, you know, quick as possible.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another thing is just the flow of a, not a sequel, but, you know, like a Tyler Russell film or, you know, a great director's film. And you see that, oh my God, he was in that movie. Oh, he was in that movie. Oh God, it's so good to see him again. And then, oh, he's in another Quentin Tarantino film. Oh my God, that's so cool. Well, that's kind of what Tyler's doing, you know, pulling it through. And, you know, it really works. It does. I mean, you'll see Gene and Texas Cotton with me in scenes, and then you'll see him again and you know, Cyst. So it's really, really cool. Of course, No Country for Old Men, how could you stop that scene that he does in the coin toss scene, you know?
Oh, I know.
With, you know, yeah. So Gene was just...
No, what I was going to say is from that movie, because obviously you said while you guys are doing the movie, you're like, where is this going? So what do you think, like, while you're filming that and you see, like, the well, goblins, the... For the first time, when you see what they are going to be, you know right from the jump that they were going to look like they did.
Yeah. So back to Troll 2. Yeah. Which again, it'll be on HBO so folks can watch it. Yeah. Now, or if you want to just tell your Apple TV to play it, I'm sure you can find it anywhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we just didn't know what was happening. You know, we just didn't. I mean, you're looking at people in burlap sacks and you're thinking, oh my God, this is going to look terrible on film. And, you know, these, there were people that would fit inside the suits and you just didn't know what was going to, you had no idea. For me, I kept thinking, well, I didn't know. We were like I just said earlier in the interview today, we just didn't know what we were doing. But honestly, when we got to the scene, it was about the fifth or sixth day of shooting. Because I remember the last scene in Troll 2 was shot the first day. So I'm telling you, we just didn't know.
Oh, really? The last scene was filmed the first day with her as like the
judge. Yeah. So you just don't know. We couldn't figure it out. So, but when I sat down at the table and I saw green icing on the corner on the cob, I thought, I don't know about this thing. Because I wasn't at the popcorn scene. I didn't know what was happening there because that was I had no idea what was happening inside the Winnebago there on the popcorn. You know, again, if you've not seen Troll 2, to the listening audience, So Bad It's Good here.
Oh, I know. I'll put the links for it. People got to check it out.
Yeah, yeah, it'll change your life. Yeah. It really will. And, you know, and Greg is so cool. I don't mean to jump around, but Greg Sestero, who is now in Cyst, who I finally after writing The Disaster Artist, a brilliant, brilliant guy. I mean, he's so articulate with his vocabulary. He talks like he writes. He's just super, super intelligent. And, you know, you could see why the Disaster Artist did what it did with Seth Rogen and James Franco picking it up and wanting to make it a film.
Yeah.
You know, whereas ours, the documentary Best of Us movie, they had a feature about a feature, you know, the Disaster Artist. But really where I wanted to go was, you know, working with him, we were both resonating on both what happened to us. You know, it's like I said, come on. I mean, here we are, these cult icons kind of from being in so bad as good movies, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like, you know, it's just happened to you. And so he kind of just went off the coattails of that and made it all happen. Of course, best friends now. He did with Tommy with So Again, and he's writing, directing all the time and just doing, he's got another film ready to go. And but anyway, I got to work with him on Cyst, which was just
that's awesome.
Fun.
No, I like him. I've listened to a lot of interviews with him. He's very cool, very down to earth.
I can get you an interview with him if you want. He's a super great guy.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Mm.
So, George, one thing that was, and it's funny when you look on, I don't know if you do this, but I always tell people that I interview, if you ever go on YouTube and like look at any clips of you from the movie, the comments underneath, like people love you. And one common theme and that I've seen in a different comments and I've read in a review from like way back in the early 90s, and you look, I'm sure you've been told this before, back then, Craig T. Nelson.
Yeah. People said that.
Yeah, people said that.
I know. Now with the white hair, it's Joe Biden, you know. Yeah, I know that.
But it's funny.
Do the hair back.
So you, like, in that movie, you kind of look like Craig T. Nelson. And I was shocked that, so Deborah Reed, when she goes in to be, like, the popcorn scene, like, when she's in that, like, I don't even know what to call it, but like the negligee kind of outfit, she looks like exactly like she could be Susan Sarandon's sister. It is like uncanny when you're watching that movie. So I watched it again the other night and I'm like, wow, I forgot her transformation and the way she looked. And I know there's so many people in this movie and I get it, like the way the script was, but there's one joke in the movie that the writer did that is phenomenal. And it's when Grandpa Seth, when he appears in the room, when you guys are in the vacation house, and he says to the kid, he says, "You scare my grandpa. You scared." What was the daughter's name? Oh, Holly. Yeah. "You scared Holly." And he's like, "Sorry, I don't know the layout of the house yet." And it's like, that was like one of the funniest, like jokes, like actual written jokes in the movie. So the rest of the movie, it's like a serious kind of tone, and I don't know, there's something just perfect about that movie. But so did you take anything from set? Obviously you just told me, I didn't know that you brought your own wardrobe, but just knowing it was your first movie, did you like keep the script or keep anything from set?
No, I didn't, I wish I would have maybe saved one of the stale pieces that we ate every day. That would have been great, you know, a 30-year-old stale pizza, right? No, I didn't, you know. And now, I mean, I do have, people have sent me the Real Vegetable book that I fall asleep reading. So I do have one of those vegetable
books. Oh, that's awesome.
You know, an authentic vegetable book from Troll 2, you know, because that's a scene where I'm reading that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was just classic. I really wish I've tried to go back and try to find some, the clothes that I wore in Troll 2, that would be fun to wear again. You know, I think I could still fit in them, you know. So, I don't know. You know, I do know Deborah saved that whole dress.
Oh, really? Nice.
She has that. And also Michael Stevenson has all the greenery that came out of his chest. He has that. And then we of course had fans that have made the exact max replica mask.
Yeah.
So, you know, but
No, we don't. I don't have anything. You know, I will have to say I did save, insist I saved one of the, you know, the actual fake pimple, you know, one of the fake pimples that I popped, you know, in the movie. But you got to watch that. It's a wild ride.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Now, look forward to it.
Gosh. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's incredible. It's incredible. It's like, oh, my God.
Like how much fun you have. So how great was it after you did? Because I think it was like right when the documentary was going that you kind of jumped back into acting. The movie Street Team Massacre came out like 2007. Oh, yeah. So was that right around when you did that? Because I think that documentary spans over like 3 years, right?
Oh, wow. So we must have made, I think we filmed Best Worst Movie 2006, 7, and 8, about 3 years.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
6, 7, and 8. Yeah. And then it came out in 10. Yeah. Or 9. Yeah. So,
so how did you get asked to be in Street Team Massacre?
We were in Los Angeles. I went out to visit Michael for something. And then I guess the director of that got in touch with Michael and said, hey, we'd like to have George. They wrote me in for that little piece there, you know.
Oh, wow.
But that's interesting, though, because I've never met Lloyd Kaufman before. And I think I'm in 3 films with him. Now, I did a little shoot, you know, I've done little cameos here and there, just small pieces up until Texas Cotton. And then, of course, Sis now, but where I got real opportunity to get back in on the saddle. But so, yeah. So what that looks like is Tiffany Shepis, who's plays my lead female lead in. Yeah. The Scream Queen. I love Tiffany. She's great. Great gal. She is. She's worked a lot with Lloyd. And but I'm in God, 3 or 4 different films with him, but never met him. I'd
his
like
his movies
to.
Are I out really there. Like I've interviewed Debbie Rochon. She's like a big horror. She was in Toxic Avenger 4, but she worked on a lot of his movies. And just the way the shoots are, they're pretty much like here's like a Winnebago or here's like a old hotel. We're gonna just stay in there. And they try to shoot it, but you could see it in the movies, like Toxic Avenger is like such an out there kind of flick.
Yeah.
So, George, it's so cool that you got back into it. So right now, obviously, we're in the middle of what's going on still, sort of, hopefully towards the end. But are you still auditioning or because it seems like you love it?
We're kind of working with Greg. Tyler and I are. We want to roll up in and Eva. Haberman, she's cooking up some stuff in Germany for 2022, it looks like. So, yeah, I mean, why? I don't think we'll stop. I mean, I am practicing full-on dentist. You know, it's crazy. But, you know, I mean, every so often I need a little vacation from this. But so what that looks like is, you know, right now with what we're doing, we're just kind of getting things created like everybody is, you know, with folks not filming. Judd Lorman, though, on SEAL Team, who is in Here Comes Rusty and also in Texas Cotton. Judge plays the judge in Texas Cotton. He also played my sidekick in the short we did of Texas Cotton.
Oh, okay.
Just turned out great. But I enjoy and then got to work with Mark Bessart. He's the other guy in the short. But that was fun working with Mark, you know. So they're actually shooting right now out in Los Angeles on SEAL Team because Judd is one of the main actors in SEAL Team. He plays Blackburn. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Actors of SEAL Team. So they're shooting with, you know, but really for the most part, like probably where you guys are up there. I don't know too many places that are really making things happen.
No, I know.
Either in front or behind the camera, you know, everything's still playing it pretty safe. So you're right. So we're all just kind of creating right now and just waiting for the time to happen, you know.
That's all you can do. All you can do is just try to create and like do, you know, really what you can right now, like write and do this. And it's cool for me because people, you know, obviously you're the nicest guy, but most people, they have free time. So they want to talk to me, which is kind of good. But George, this has been awesome, man. Connecting with you has been really cool because when I was a kid, watching that movie because it was either on HBO, Cinemax, show, one of those, because we used to have like the illegal black box my dad got. So we used to get all those channels like illegally. And I remember just watching that movie, and it was like, as a kid, kids don't understand it nowadays, but when you watched a movie back then, like you like watched a movie, there was no like, now I could start a movie and be like, this movie sucks and I can turn it off. Cause there's like, you have the instant gratification. But when you like went to the video store or even watched on HBO, there was only like one HBO back then, one Showtime. So you're like, I'm going to watch this. Yeah. And I remember just watching that movie and like burned into my memory is when she has the chainsaw and he's the tree. And I remember just as a kid, like that being like so frightening, but like so silly at the same time. But yeah, I just remember that movie burns into my memory because as a kid, I remember just watching it and just like couldn't look away. Yeah. And it's like not at that age that you're like, this is bad or this is good. It's just a movie. But seeing it years later, it's just like so much fun.
It is just a blast. You know, every so often I'll revisit it like you, but I've talked to people that watched it, boy, 200-300 times. You know, I play Troll 2 every time I'm taking a shower, stuff like that. You've got to be kidding me, you know. But you're right. It's just like a movie like no other, really. Film like no other, really. One of those that's just, you know, you just don't do that. But what I get to guess, are you about 31, 32, 3? How was
34. Your age? You're close. 34. 34.
I was thinking about, I should have said that first. Yeah. Yeah. Cause most of the people your age tell me the same story.
Yeah.
They, you know, they're watching it and, you know, I kind of like, was there a dad figure? I'm 66. How old is your father?
My dad's
probably around 60, my age a little.
Yeah. Probably 65. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're the same age. Cool. Yeah. So so what, you know, a lot of people, they do the same thing. They tell me the same thing. They saw it at that same time, and it scared the living Jesus out of them, my dad would always say. But I remember I've got an adopted that's 37 and a daughter that's 27 now. And both of those two, you know, between those 10 years, they'd watch it. And actually, what's funny is because it was scary to them at the time, and it was so bad, too, of course. I just took the VHS copy, like I say in Best Worst Movie, and put it on top of the TV, the big fat TV, and you know, it collected dust. I never watched Troll 2. And in fact, I never watched Troll 2 through its entirety, even until I got to New York at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. Oh. And that's when I realized, oh my God, this is. You know, this is the real deal here, you know.
That's amazing.
I kind of fell behind the TV and I never watched it, forgot about it until a phone call 17 years later from a guy from Furman that was trying to make a documentary, a radio documentary on Troll 2. I said, what are you talking to me? He says, well, if you don't believe me, go to IMDb. I didn't even know what that was. And he says, it's the number one worst film ever. It's 00s on Rotten Tomato. And I just happened to scroll down at the bottom of the screen on the internet. And this is all in the documentary, but I'll just tell the audience and you.
Yeah.
So what that looks like is I was scrolling down at the very bottom. It said Troll 2 cast reunion, first screening ever, you know, in American soil. And it was in Provo, Utah. Well, I read that April the 11th, 2006. And it says the party and the showing screening was April the 13th. So I spent $700 of my own dollars and flew out because I just had to go.
Yeah.
So I show up late because it was a late flight. I got about 15 minutes after the screening started and I walk in this dark, sit down, and there are, you know, seven or eight of the actors from Troll 2, which I haven't had contact with. One of which was not Michael Stevenson, but his family was there because that's where Michael's from, Utah there. And Logan or Lehigh or something like that. So anyway, the lights come on and we get just bombarded with autographs and all that. The BYU students are wanting to, you know, all of us to, you know, they're just fans like crazy there. And so I met Deborah Reed there, and Deborah and her husband, who's now passed away, but they were going to do a documentary on it because she knew that the underground thing was happening. This is all MySpace and pre-Facebook.
Yeah.
And getting contacts as well as I was. And I just didn't know, it was, you know, what was happening. So I ended up flying out to Los Angeles to meet Michael because his parents gave me his, you know, and Michael and I just said, hey, we really should go for it, make a documentary of what we did, of which why you're calling me now. You saw Best Worst of Me. Of course, you're a Troll 2 fan, but you were able to get in. But yeah, so yeah, so now here 30 years later, I just finished Cyst, and of course, Texas Cotton was filmed in December of November of 2017. And then Cyst was filmed in December 2019. So yeah, those are my other two films out. And then Under Control was filmed in 2015, along with Here Comes Rusty. So I've got four films coming out right now.
Man. How about that? But George, this has been great. And what I'll do is I'll put all the links to where people can see all these movies and rent them and buy them. Thank you. Enjoy your day. And we'll keep in touch, man.
Absolutely. Ciao.
Man, wasn't George the nicest guy ever? You know, I go back and edit these and listen back and fix little things here and there. It's just like so cool to like almost relive that experience. And George does not disappoint. One of the nicest guys ever. Like I said in the opening, I'm going to put all the links to all the movies that he has coming out and the ones that just came out in the episode notes. Also, don't forget your homework is to watch Troll 2. It's included on HBO Max. It's $4 to rent all in the normal online rental places. And watch the documentary if you have time. You know, it's on Tubi for free. I'll put that in the notes as well. And don't forget to review, rate, share our podcast. Follow us on all social media at Sequels Only. And don't forget to check out our website, sequelsonly.com. Good night.